This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Do you think the Federal Bureau of Investigation or your local police department, your local sheriff's department, whatever, pick your law enforcement agency, do you think they should go after communists? Gets to be an interesting question when you actually dig into it. And we have historical precedent for it. And I'm not sure I have an answer for how I feel about it. And this is what I mean. One, I hate communism. Hate it. I have very subtly several times on this show said what I think should be done with communists, or maybe should be done with communists. I think communism is a disgusting, deadly, anti-human, anti-God ideology that has created more human suffering and misery than any other ideology in the history of mankind. And I also think it is currently destroying the United States of America, as it has taken a bunch of different forms, social justice forms, feminism. It's taken a bunch of different forms, but it is an anti-American, disgusting ideology, and it is ripping this country apart. It has created a nation of people who hate themselves and hate where they live. That's what it was designed to do. Create revolutions, destroy the capitalist system of America, and it is, let's be frank, working very well.
People get mad when I say this all the time, but stop pretending we won the Cold War. It's absurd. Oh, we may have beaten the Soviet Union, but if the Cold War was between liberty and freedom and communism, stop pretending we won that Cold War. We are on our heels badly. But this is where it gets difficult. What do you want done about it? Let me tell you what it looks like if you're the type of person who says, Jesse, when you become king one day, I want you to empower law enforcement to go after communism and communists. I mean, look, that's kind of music to my ears until you look at what it looks like. Let's do a little rewind, shall we? Have you heard of President McKinley? I would certainly hope you have. But if you haven't, allow me to elaborate briefly. He was the man. Teddy Roosevelt was his vice president. McKinley was president at the time. He attends some Pan-American Expo. I believe it was in Buffalo, New York. I may have that wrong. And gets assassinated. Gets shot twice in the stomach. One of them deflects off of a button. The other one goes clear through his guts. Cuts open a bunch of his internal organs. He slowly gets an infection over the next week. Took him a week to die. Keels over, dies. One of obviously a few presidents who've been assassinated in this country. Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy. Is there one I'm forgetting, Chris? I just did that. I did that live. Is there one I'm forgetting? I don't think so. Chris, look that up in case there's one I'm forgetting. McKinley gets shot, but who did he get shot by? He got shot by an anarchist. You see, Antifa, this current Democrat front group, violent group, these anarchists are not the first anarchists, not the first violent ones who have graced the soils of the United States of America. And I know you're going to find this shocking. They're siding with the communists back around 1900. Now, how did they rise? What is the axe to grind? Well, we were having a massive shift in our economy at the time because of technology. We're talking about Industrial Revolution age. We're talking about the age of assembly lines. How did assembly lines change things? Well, you are Joe Schmo the worker. You go to work every day assembling something, putting together something. And I'm really simplifying this, by the way, but you're tasked with putting together something. You get the pieces together, you put it together, boom, you're done. And the work quality was outstanding, as you can imagine. However, as you know, conveyor belts come about, big machines, industrial grade machines come about, you not only become less and less important as an individual worker, you become more and more expendable, and they need less from you. No, Joe Schmo, I don't need you to show up and put together this. I need you to stand right here. Try not to get your hand cut off, as has happened several times in our factory yesterday. I need you to stand right here. And I need you to take this screw, and every time something comes in front of you, screw it into this spot and do that for 10 hours a day. I'm a capitalist's capitalist. Also grew up blue collar, as you know. I'm a construction guy. I cheer for the working man. I don't necessarily assign blame like many people do when it comes to things like this, massive economic transitions. I don't blame the people who own the factories and own the companies for transitioning. It makes total sense. Cut down on your labor cost, increase your output, increase your profit. That's your job. For yourself, for your shareholders, that's your job. However, I also don't judge the workers either for looking around and thinking to themselves, wait a minute, I'm getting the raw end of this deal big time. Big time. Nobody gives a crap about me. My wages have dipped. Nobody cares if I get hurt. This was really the age where the unions began to rise in America. You know, I'm not exactly pro-union, to put it mildly. But, as I've told you before, I do understand them very, very much. Especially in this day and age, I understand them. And that's where we stand around the year 1900. And as you can imagine, when you start reducing the standard of living for many, many people, that is going to create a simmering anger that will inevitably, every single time, result in some level of violence. It is an economic transition, and I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. But that's something that happens. In fact, we're going to get to it in just a little while. We're going through one now, and I'm curious how it's going to work out. Something else was happening around this time. As you know, what else was happening in the early 1900s? I'll tell you in a second. I have big news. This is huge news. I finally had to charge my Raycon earbuds last night. I think it's been like 2 weeks. It's the most amazing thing. Well, I don't pretend to understand technology, but I know it's incredible that you have these tiny little comfortable earbuds, fit in my ears, don't hang out, no wires, sound good, great bass, cool little carrying case where you open up the case and as soon as you pull them out, it turns them on. You put them back in the case and close it, it turns them off. It's cool as a little thing. How do these things last for 6 hours on a single charge? I find that to be so bizarre. Technology is amazing. This Raycon, they have things figured out. Go see what I'm talking about. Get yourself some E25 earbuds from Raycon. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Early 1900s. An anarchist kills the president of the United States of America. That is going to prompt action. President of the United States goes down. It's going to move mountains. People start waking up to this anarchist movement, and the anarchist movement begin to rise with the communist movement when the workers felt like they were getting screwed, and along comes World War I. World War I, I have argued and will argue till I'm blue in the face, although this is all really, this is all subjective. I have argued that World War I is more consequential to everything we've seen since then than World War II. And one of the main reasons I argue that is it's how communism got its footing. It was around. It was starting to be around because of this change in worker conditions. I'm not going to act like it just popped up during World War I. But it wasn't gaining a national foothold, really. Nowhere. Communism was in America by now, at the start of World War I. Communism was in Russia. But it wasn't the majority by any stretch of the imagination. It was in France. Starting to bubble in Germany, as you can imagine. It's there, but it wasn't big. And then World War I comes along. And remember all those crappy worker conditions? They stayed crappy, only the worker had less to eat when he got home at night. And when you're France, when you're Russia, not only is the worker and the worker's family going hungry, now the people in charge are sending them off to die in droves. There's a terrible story I remember I heard on Dan Carlin's Hardcore History podcast a long time ago. One story about a Russian lady, I believe she was Russian, had lost all five of her sons. Her husband was taking her to an insane asylum, as you can imagine. Those aren't the exception. That's what was happening in societies across Europe. Leaders of these nations, I'm not going to act like they were a bunch of uncaring sadists, but that sure is how it looked to everybody else. Leaders of these nations were sending all the young men to die. And they were all dying in droves. Tens of thousands a day sometimes. Numbers that you, to this day, over 100 years later, you and I can't wrap our minds around that kind of loss of life. Nor do I ever want to. If we get word that there was an ambush in Afghanistan that kills 10 troops, some Taliban ambush that kills 10 troops today, that's national news. You and I are saddened by that. We're doing fundraisers for the families. That's terrible. Britain got word in World War I that they lost over 50,000 men in one day at the Somme. That is creating a level of anger and resentment towards the people in the top that is very difficult to contain. And along comes the Russian Revolution of 1917. And you know all about the Bolsheviks. The Russian communists got in a horrible civil war, violent, killed a bunch of people, ousted the Tsar, who actually completely gave up his seat, but ousted the Tsar. He gave up power. The big fight. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. But the communists eventually took over. And you and I now have over 100 years of seeing the death in misery brought about by collectivism, socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. They didn't have that back then when the communists took over. Granted, the people in power everywhere, America, France, Germany, I mean, everywhere, the people in power, they were obviously very, very, very scared of communism for what it meant for themselves. You know, I don't, the workers are rising up. That sounds awful. What do you mean I'm going to be ousted from power? And they, of course, turned out to be right. But the people, you and I, pounding nails for a living, working your job, stuffed in a factory, communism at this day, at this point in time, didn't sound that bad. To a lot of people. I'm not talking about the majority. It's not like 80% of Americans were all on board with communism, but it was getting to be significant. Significant enough. And again, this conversation gets uncomfortable, but it's true. Here in America, we do accept immigrants here. I know everybody likes to paint us, and everybody on the left likes to paint us now as some anti-immigrant nation of, you know, we hate foreigners. That's so stupid. We've had ups and downs as far as how many we accept in this country, but we've always accepted them. And we had a real influx at this point in time of people from Italy, people from Eastern Europe. Places where communism was really getting a foothold. And if you read about these stories I'm about to tell you, or this general story I'm about to tell you Of course, you can't ever get a straight answer because it's always from some lefty idiot professor. They always say things like, and America started to demonize immigrants. Some of that stuff was true. Some of these immigrants were bringing communism with them. Some of these people committing violent acts, they were immigrants. Commie anarchist immigrants. That's just a fact. We eventually get an attorney general by the name of Palmer. Don't worry, his name's not that significant, except for the fact the raids that came after were Palmer raids. And Palmer starts going after these anarchists. America, 1918, 1919, 1920, they are rightly terrified about the rise of communism in Russia and its spread. They're worried about the communists. They're worried about the anarchists. Remember, we are only less than 20 years at this day and age past the time they killed our president. And Palmer starts going after them. And then Palmer is awakened in the middle of the night one night by a bomb blowing off in front of his house and knocking him and his wife out of bed. Well, what do you think the response would be if you took the head law enforcement officer in the United States of America and tried to bomb him? That's going to get you a response. Now, here's where you and I are going to have to start asking ourselves what we believe. What is right? What is wrong? How do you maintain freedom? How do you maintain freedom while also opposing communism? Because America, back in this day and age, was an America that was night and day different than the one we know now, sadly. This America, back in this day and age, they took things like civil liberties very, very seriously. America in this day and age was obsessed. I mean obsessed, because it was in our DNA about shrinking the federal government, keeping it small. But Palmer had other ideas. Home title theft is a huge, huge problem in the United States of America. And I mean, look, I don't have a better way to put it. It's going to get you evicted from your home. And this is how it works. Your home title is digital. It's not a piece of paper anymore. These cyber thieves, they find it online. They take it. They forge your signature on it. And believe me when I tell you, they can forge your signature perfectly. They did it to me and my wife. Then they take that title, go get a loan out against it, and then you start getting notices in the mail that you're late on payments, only you think it's junk mail, right? Because you didn't take out that loan, and you're chucking them in the trash and chucking them in the trash, and finally one day you get a notice that your home isn't your home anymore. That's happening. Don't let it happen to you. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Use the code Jesse. That gets yourself 30 free days of protection. America takes their civil liberties very seriously. Remember, in 1908... America bureaucrats in Washington tried to get the authority to, you know, create a federal police force of some kind. Which, with the America we have now, that sounds like a no-brainer. Back then, Congress was all, no, federal. Take your federal and shove it where the sun don't shine. Federal nothing. There's no authority for you to do that. You're not trampling on our rights. That's the kind of America there was. Fast forward to the Palmer raids, and we have now created something. It was actually created really with the stroke of a pen. We've created something called the Bureau of Investigation. Yes, it's that, but there was no federal on it first. It was just called the Bureau of Investigation. We'll call it the BI. But that was how it began. And they decided to start getting very, very, very aggressive with communists. When I say aggressive, I mean investigating them. I mean using informants. I mean arrests with some interrogations, many of which allegedly at least went way too far. I mean deportations. Now, again, when you read about it today, all you get is from this crazy, idiotic, leftist historical point of view of these mass deportations of immigrants. We deported like 500 people. I think the number is 556 or something like that. Let's slow down. But still, invading commie meetings, arresting people, interrogating people, deporting people, this is a big, big deal. It's such a big deal. America starts demanding congressional hearings on it. You don't have the freedom to do that. Even commie-hating Americans were all, you can't do that. That's a violation of civil liberties. Not breaking any laws. You can't. And it's a big debate, a hot topic in America at the time. We're not the first ones to have this argument. Fast forward just a little bit, and a man who was just a worker bee for the Bureau of Investigation gets called in, and he is appointed to be the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, somebody we've never talked about on the show, and I cannot believe that. Somebody by the name of J. Edgar Hoover. History has not been kind to J. Edgar Hoover. Understandably, for a lot of reasons, which we'll get into in just a moment. But you understand how long J. Edgar Hoover was head of the FBI, right? Let me just try to explain this to you in a way that really hits home. J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the FBI from 1924 to 1972. He served under 8 presidents. 8! Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, FDR, Harry Truman, Eisenhower, JFK, LBJ, and finally Richard Nixon. He died. He had to die to get him out of office. And J. Edgar Hoover is a man, as I said, billed as a villain. Now, let's be really, really clear about something here. He earned a lot of that reputation. Some of it may have been overblown by his enemies after his demise, but he very much earned a lot of that reputation by doing things like, oh, have you heard of Melvin Purvis? If you haven't, just know this. I'm actually going to do a show on Dillinger soon, but in the 1930s, we have a Great Depression in the United States of America. I don't need to elaborate on everything the Great Depression was, but something you have to understand about this. The Great Depression created a lot of anger at banks. Banks and bankers were very much made to be the bad guys. Whether you agree with that or disagree with that, it was banks knocking on your front door. Pack up your stuff. I don't care about your 90 kids. Go live in a car somewhere. This is our home now. Banks were made to be the bad guys. And banks, well, They got a big old target on their backs, and people like John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, Babyface Nelson, these larger-than-life bank-robbing characters rose during this time. J. Edgar Hoover is tasked with his still relatively new FBI with going after these guys because they were so smart and so difficult to catch, and local law enforcement didn't necessarily work well with each other. It would help to have a federal law enforcement agency kind of coordinating everything, looking over everything, and J. Edgar Hoover goes after them. But he's not personally going after them. He has a man working for him by the name of Melvin Purvis. Melvin Purvis, you have no idea exactly how it went down, but he is the FBI agent largely responsible for capturing or killing Babyface Nelson, John Dillinger, and Pretty Boy Floyd. There's a lot of argument about how he killed Floyd. Purvis said he did it, you know, all by himself. There was arguments about that. It doesn't matter. Purvis, you take down the three big kings of this era, along with Bonnie and Clyde. He didn't take them down, but they would be another big name at the time. Was almost immediately made to be a national hero for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which is a great thing, right? Woohoo! This is awesome. FBI's still up and coming. He took down these three bank robbers. What a feather in the cap for J. Edgar Hoover, unless you're J. Edgar Hoover and you take pettiness to a level that pettiness should never, ever go. Hoover didn't like being upstaged by a superstar agent. Hoover wanted to be the superstar. He then destroyed Purvis's reputation, ran him out of the FBI, and if you thought Hoover was done then, Hoover then dedicated much of his personal time to making sure Purvis could never get another job. Purvis then died at the age of 56 by suicide. Maybe. He died specifically by being shot in the head by a pistol that was given to him, get this, when he resigned from the FBI. When Hoover ran him out, he's given a pistol, kind of a symbolic, "Data boy, we love you, Purvis. Sorry, the director's kind of a jerk." A later investigation did not show suicide. Not making any accusations here, I'm just saying. Oh, and if you thought that was the worst thing J. Edgar Hoover ever did, Have you ever heard of Viola Liozzo? You probably have not, so allow me to elaborate very briefly. She was a suburban housewife who got involved in the civil rights movement in the 60s. Until that ended quickly.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
How exposed is your information online? How much of your information is out there? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think you're naive. I don't think you have a public profile with your home address and your online dating profile, your gun records, all your previous addresses, things like that. I don't think you'd knowingly put all that information out there for all to see. But something like that might be happening with your information. What I mean is there may be public records posted online about you. You wouldn't paint your private information on your garage door, right? But you could be leaving a footprint everywhere you go when you're online. A lot of things you do online, maybe records you didn't even set up yourself, those records might be out there. And not only could they possibly be out there, others might be able to see them. It's important, more important than ever, to find out what could be posted online about you. Go look up your name or anyone else's right now. Go to GetTheTruthNow.com. That's GetTheTruthNow.com. Viola Liozzo decided she was going to go down and get involved in the civil rights movement. Hot and heavy in the 60s, as you may imagine. And there's a lot of violence around the movement, and we need to explain before we get into this where the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover stood on all this. Because a lot of people have lied about this, and they twist this around to their own narrative. I don't do that, at least I try not to. This is where they actually were. The FBI, they weren't siding with the KKK. That's idiotic. As you're about to find out, they had informants in the KKK. They knew the KKK was a terrorist group. They were going after them. The FBI, however, was also going after many of the civil rights leaders, including Martin Luther King, not because they were black. For the most part. I mean, I'm sure there was some... Look, we're talking about the 60s here. I'm sure there was some racism mixed in. I'm positive about it. But that is not why they were after the civil rights leaders. They were after the civil rights leaders for two main reasons. One, civil unrest. They were causing civil unrest. When you cause civil unrest, that is going to get the attention of the federal government. Now, you and I look at the civil rights movement and we think, you should cause some civil unrest over that. So it's hard not to be sympathetic to him on that. However, there was a second reason the FBI was going after civil rights leaders at this time. And this is where it gets real uncomfortable. You ready for this? Because the FBI said many of these civil rights leaders had ties to communists and communism. And they did. The communists, communism, recognized early on they could use the civil rights movement to push many of the things they wanted. And the civil rights leaders recognized early on they could use communists and communism to get many of the things they wanted. That gets real uncomfortable, doesn't it? When you start talking about that, but why can't we have honest discussions about history? If you have that discussion, doesn't mean you're anti-civil rights. Doesn't mean you're pro-communism. It is a fact. Martin Luther King, in particular, had a communist confidant. He was, in fact, warned off of speaking to this communist confidant. He then kept speaking with him behind closed doors. I'm not calling Martin Luther King a communist, but the connections were there at a time when the country was rabidly against it. We'll get back to that Martin Luther King thing in just a moment because that goes somewhere. Viola Liozzo, white suburban housewife, goes down, does the march in Selma. I don't need to intro that for anybody. When the march in Selma is done, she decides to boogie on out of town, catches a ride with a young black dude, Leroy something. I forget his name. I know his name is Leroy something. Takes off out of town, and in the South at this time, we don't realize how powerful and scary the KKK was. Because what's the KKK today? What do you think of when you think of the KKK today? It's a couple fat old white dudes standing on a courthouse somewhere, having to be protected by the local police department because basically everyone in the town wants to beat them up or murder them. It's nothing significant. It's a bunch of morons. They're not doing anything. They have no power. The media, of course, has to play it up because they want a race war in America and they have to play up this continual civil rights thing, which is crap now. But the KKK is nothing. They're nothing. Black Lives Matter is the real supremacist terrorist group in America right now with power, but that's another story. But back then, that was not the case. The KKK was powerful, especially regionally in the South. And the KKK was on the prowl. You get a big march like that, the KKK is really on the prowl. And they find a car speeding down a country road with a white girl in it and a black dude in it. And that is going to be a problem. And there are multiple KKK members in the car. Run her off the road. Shoot her dead. Except there happens to be an FBI informant in the car with the KKK dudes. Remember when I told you the FBI was going after the KKK and the FBI informant did nothing to stop any of this? Which gets dicey, right? What's he supposed to do? Well, something. So what does J. Edgar Hoover do? Does he come out with a public statement apologizing on behalf of the FBI, condemning this informant, speaking out against it? J. Edgar Hoover decided to go after this lady's family, the dead lady's family. Hang on. I miss napping. I know that's a funny thing to say, but since I got my ebb sleep, I get 8 hours of sleep at least every single night. And before I got an ebb sleep, when I wasn't sleeping, I could take naps on occasion during the day and I enjoyed them. Now, I'm so full of energy and so well rested, I can no longer take a nap. So I know I'm not supposed to probably say anything bad about them, but ebb sleep works so well, they've taken away my ability to nap at night. Go try one. You can try them risk-free for 60 days. Find out what it's like to sleep soundly for 8 hours every single night. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Don't forget to use the code Jesse at checkout for $25 off. Viola Liozzo, obviously her family wants some answers. There's a trial about this shooting. The KKK guys put on trial. J. Edgar Hoover starts through back channels sending newspaper articles to the home of this lady's young daughter saying she was having an affair with the civil rights leaders. J. Edgar Hoover starts pushing national magazines to publish things asking if she was a good mother, destroying her reputation. Like I said, J. Edgar Hoover earned a lot of the animosity he had. As far as Martin Luther King goes, J. Edgar Hoover, worried about communist ties, decides to start wiretapping, decides to start listening in on the various things Martin Luther King was doing. And he didn't do right with that either. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
J. Edgar Hoover decides to start listening in on Martin Luther King's conversations. Bugs wiretaps the works. J. Edgar Hoover doesn't really pick up any commie activity, but he does pick up some of Martin Luther King Jr.'s extracurricular activities. Martin Luther King had lots of them. J. Edgar Hoover doesn't take this information and dump it in the trash because it's not relevant to his investigation. J. Edgar Hoover decides to start pushing this information out to the general public, including to Martin Luther King's wife. J. Edgar Hoover had files on people, lots of them, people you'd know. Walt Disney, not making that up. Jackie Robinson. Steve Jobs, Helen Keller. How hilarious is that? He had a file on Helen Keller. Look, I think we're going to be fine if Helen Keller is leading the communist movement. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's ugly. The things he did were ugly. And here's what's maybe the most amazing thing about the J. Edgar Hoover 50-year, almost 50-year campaign against communists. We don't even know the full extent of it, not even a fraction of it, because when Hoover died, remember, Nixon was president when Hoover died, he sent government agents over to Hoover's office to get all the secret files Hoover kept on everybody. His secretary had already destroyed the files. Hoover had instructed her upon his death to destroy the files. Tell me you wouldn't like all that juicy information in the files. That's the bad stuff. Back to the beginning question. How do you want communism handled in America? There aren't always good, clean, black and white solutions to problems. So I'm asking you, how do you want it handled? If you're going to empower the FBI or someone at the FBI or whatever, to create your own commie law enforcement agency, you investigate communism, go after communists so we can get rid of them from our society, which we need to, right? We have to get rid of them from our society. Well, then you've got to ask yourself if you're okay with giving human beings that kind of power. Go after, deport, arrest. These words come with consequences. There are things attached to these words. Reading your text messages. Hacking your social media sites. Tapping your phones, wiretapping your car, your office. It gets more uncomfortable when you talk about these solutions, doesn't it? Everybody wants to, I hate commies. How much do you hate commies? J. Edgar Hoover was going after people all over Hollywood. Marilyn Monroe. He had a file on Marilyn Monroe. I don't know if there were pictures. I quit. But he had a file on Marilyn Monroe. That she was not some card-carrying commie, even according to his files, but Hoover was very, very interested in communism in Hollywood. Now, you and I can sit and be upset about him going after Marilyn Monroe, who was innocent, but we know now for a fact communists were and are involved in Hollywood, involved in funding Hollywood in order to push out the communist message, communist ideology. Do you want that pushed out? I see it all over television and movies today. You probably do too. Do you want your children? Go sit down in the movie theater with your $90 popcorn. Big old extra large Coke. Sit down. It's movie day. Dad, can we go to the movies? You bet, kids. Do you want them to go down and watch the newest cartoon that's out there and get a bunch of thinly veiled messages about the greatness of collectivism? Do you? I don't. There aren't always easy answers to tough questions. Here's the truth. And people don't want to talk about it because it makes it sound hopeless, but here's the truth. Freedom is what matters. Civil liberties are what matters. Small government is what matters. It's who we are as a nation. However, you cannot freedom your way out of communism. You can't small government your way out of communism. It may be the opposite of what communism is. However, it's not a way to stop it and eradicate it. And you and I are going to have to, well, make some decisions for ourselves as we move along here as a nation. What do you want done about it? I have made this joke before, and I will tell you, it's only a half joke. I wake up in the morning, every single morning, and I am fairly libertarian. I don't think I'd ever call myself a libertarian, but very libertarian. Small government. Would you call me that, Chris? Probably very pretty libertarian. No? No? I am. I would. Every time you take one of those stupid little online tests, I always come back as that. Government small, tiny government, so on and so forth. Don't give me your laws, repeal laws, all that. And I go to bed every single night. I want the government under Trump storming into the Washington Post and nationalizing it. Tell me that isn't twisted. But that's where I stand right now. And remember how we began all this. How this communist movement in America and worldwide really began. It began with a huge economic transition on a macro level, an economic transition with the rise of machines and factories and such. What are you seeing right now in the United States of America because of these idiotic coronavirus lockdowns? Even if you don't realize it, let me tell you, you are seeing a gigantic economic transition. Huge. It's right under your nose and you might not even see it. The hospitality industry, hotels, flying, restaurants, being rooted out of the ground and chucked on a bonfire. Commercial real estate. This big, this studio, it's in a big fancy office building in Houston. Several floors, I don't know, 20 floors, whatever it may be. 20, 25 floors, I don't know. I showed up for the last 2 years to park in the parking garage of this studio and struggled to find a parking spot. You know what I see now? I'll tell you in a second.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
I need my technology to be easy. I know that maybe that makes me sound old. Maybe I am getting old. I don't know. But all this new technology that comes out, I need it to be easy for me. So when I get new earbuds, whenever I get them, I need the Bluetooth pairing to be easy. I can't use this code. I set the pin here. I'll make sure. I can't do all that. It took me less than 10 seconds to pair my Raycon E25 earbuds. Less than 10 seconds. Speaking of easy, I need it to be easy on my ears. My ears, they're my livelihood now. I have something in them at all times when I'm on the radio, when I'm on TV. My Raycon earbuds, shoot, I think I could sleep with these things in. They're that comfortable. Go find out. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off your Raycon earbuds. What are you prepared to do? I am increasingly falling down on the side of anything. And that's such a, there's such a difficult thing to come down on, right? But in order to stop the deadly scourge of communism from completely wrecking this country and killing who knows how many people here, we should be willing to do anything, shouldn't we? Are we going to have to do it? That's the problem now. Boy, we're really getting into the weeds here, aren't we? What do you do if the FBI is on the side of the commies? This ain't 1920, folks. This is the day and age where there is every indication the FBI serves the Democratic Party. Let's not forget, just because you don't get bombarded with it every single day in the media, let's not forget the FBI is currently under investigation for campaigning against the Republicans and for the Democrats. That's reality. That is reality. So where does that leave us? PBS has a show called Arthur for kids. Children's show Arthur. This is Breitbart.com. PBS's children's show Arthur is pumping out taxpayer-funded propaganda depicting the United States as a racist country where unjustified police brutality against Black Americans is an aspect of everyday life. A video for kids. One of the companies that builds America's nukes just had a taxpayer-funded required retreat for its white employees where they had to write down apologies to minorities for their white privilege. Again, taxpayer funded. Where does it leave you and I when you don't get to choose between should the FBI go after the commies or not? Where does it leave you and I when the FBI is the commie? When the federal government, whether you like it or not, is on the wrong side of things. And don't send me these emails. I mean, you're welcome to call 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. But don't send me these emails. Trump will stop it. Brother, come on now. It's been 3.5 years. I'm not blaming the guy. You can only do so much as president. Yes, I think he's made some mistakes, but overall, I'm still happy with it. But if you're surrounded by the entire bureaucracy and the House of Representatives and the entire American media, you don't have the power as president to stop it. And frankly, As much as you and I like to cheerlead when Trump slaps around the idiot members of the press, and oh, I do cheerlead, I don't know that he thinks it's as big a problem as you and I do. Oh, sure, he's mad about the FBI because they were investigating him. What's he done about the social justice idiotic stuff that has infiltrated our military? Nothing. Not a thing. What has he done to root out the fact that over 90% of our federal bureaucracy, and keep in mind, the federal government is the largest employer in the United States of America, which the founding fathers would just vomit in their mouths if they heard. What's he done to root out and change the fact over 90% Democrat in the federal government? Nothing. Stop with this fantasy land that the president of the United States is a Republican, therefore things are going to get better. We've had 3.5 years. What if it's up to us? Headline, Chicago locals fighting off protesters and shut down Black Lives Matter rally to prevent looting. A largely black group of Chicago residents, infuriated by looters blighting the city, pushed back against the Black Lives Matter protest. And access was again blocked to downtown overnight to stop more marauding. With bridges raised and express ramps closed, protesters turned to the south side, where a man allegedly started a shootout with cops in an arrest that sparked chaos. Inglewood's locals resisted, kicking out the protesters from Black Lives Matter and groups campaigning to defund the police. Quote, "If you ain't from Inglewood, get the blank out of here," longtime resident Daryl Smith shouted at protesters during these tense confrontations. Good for Daryl Smith and good for the residents there. The truth is this. We're going to have to start getting a lot more used to doing things ourselves. And we're going to have to start getting a lot more used to trying not to get in trouble here, Chris. Breaking the rules. Gonna have to get used to breaking the rules. I know so many of my rule followers now are cringing at the thought of having to break the rules, but you're going to have to start getting a lot more comfortable breaking the rules. You just are. We have in my area, in the suburbs of Houston, this little pub. This little pub, one of the owners has cancer. This little pub, you remember we have more idiotic coronavirus rules here in Texas. Bars can't open. If you do open, you've got to serve food. This pub's not a big food place. They serve booze. It's a pub. They can't close down or they can't afford her cancer treatments. They stayed open. They stayed open against the rules. They stayed open, and I'm assuming, I'm now in the realm of assuming here, I'm assuming did plenty of lying about how much food they were serving, so on and so forth, in a blatant defiance of the government's rules. They're currently in jail. The cops in this little suburb, the cops chose to go after these people. Hard. I'm talking about camping out outside of the pub to pull over patrons as they left, trying to bust people on DUI, and did bust a bunch of people for it. Whose side are you on? What are you and I going to do about that? Town, headline, town votes to rescind the license of New Jersey gym owners who repeatedly defied coronavirus restrictions. Ian Smith, you know what, Chris, reach out to him. Ian Smith, owner of Atlas Gym in South Jersey, we're going to get this guy on, speaks to a borough council in Camden County voted Tuesday to rescind the business license of a gym that has repeatedly defied a state order to close its doors under coronavirus restrictions. The Belmar Council voted 5-1 to rescind the mercantile license of Atlas Gym after an hour-long hearing that featured comments from the gym's owner's attorney, the borough's lawyer, and council members. One of the gym owners, Ian Smith, sat in the council chamber along with half dozen police officers and 10 members of the public allowed to attend in. The seats spaced 6 feet apart. They not only closed his gym, he defied them and they took it all away. What are you prepared to do?
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, Ryan. You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind the scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.